Hello and welcome to the CX App Live, an interview-style podcast addressing topics, trends, and tips for creating real-time digital experiences in a customer-first, customer-last world. This show for briefing and meeting professionals brings you authentic and unfiltered conversations with industry experts who know how to elevate customer experience across people, teams, and programs. Let's listen in.
Welcome, everyone, to our CX App Live podcast series dedicated to today's briefing professionals. I'm Darby Mason-Werner, Senior Director, Client and Partner Strategy with the CX App, an Inpixion company. I'm excited to be interviewing thought leaders across our industry who can share their experiences and ideas to help all of us improve our programs. And today, our focus is on characteristics of world-class briefing programs, an origin story. As we start a new year, we wanted to shine a light on what world-class means in our profession and others that are relevant to briefing professionals. We thought we'd start off our series with a look at the origins of the ABPM's characteristics of world-class briefing programs and why they remain relevant today. And who better to introduce that topic than Candy Hurley? Candy is a longtime ABPM supplier and company member and has served on the committees to refresh the characteristics over the years. She has also been a juror for the World Class Awards since they were first instituted almost 20 years ago. Hi, Candy. Thank you so much for helping me kick off the third season of our CX App Live Thought Leader podcast series. And I'm especially excited that we're going to talk about world class and what that means for our briefing industry, and that we'll be carrying this theme throughout 2022.
Well, hi, Darby. It's a great theme for the year and is really a timely podcast as we're thinking about our personal New Year's resolutions. We can kick off the year with some stretch goals for our programs as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so I'm really looking forward to our discussion here. So let's talk world class. All right. And let's open with, you know, we've got the ABPM world class characteristics and they've evolved over the past 25 years. And you've been teaching these ABPM workshops and webinars about world class for quite some time. And so could we just start off with a quick overview of the five main categories so our audience is familiar with those?
Sure, sure. The world-class characteristics is a document. It's about 25 pages long.
Yeah.
And we think of it as the blueprint or the standards of practice for our profession as briefing professionals. You can think of it like an industry benchmark almost, or sometimes we refer to it as a roadmap to excellence.
Yes.
It's organized in five categories. And those are four of them are, well, they're all program categories, and four of them apply to all of our programs. And the fifth one is applicable only if your program is a multi-center briefing program. But the four categories are management, operations, customer experience, and analytics. And the document lays out what excellent performance is in each of those categories for our profession.
Exactly. Right. And I love that they actually added that fifth item, because, you know, we see more and more teams that are adding those additional sites and being able to have some additional, you know, benchmarks, as you say, some additional areas to focus on to just continue to strive for world class, I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we think more broadly about world class as a concept and, you know, what we'll focus on for the year, what does that really mean? Can you talk more about that?
Well, in our profession, we call it world class, but it's called different things for, you know, in different aspects of life. So if you think about inventors or innovators, for example, they might call it the Nobel Prize, or your company has best in class products or best of breed products. That would be the phrasing they would use to talk about what we would call world class. With companies or logos, you think about what is those companies that are world class, they really have consistency, they have quality, they're really memorable. Or even we think about world class in terms of celebrities or artists or historical figures, somebody who really leaves a mark on the culture, really is a game changer. So that when we bring it to our profession, that's what we're calling world class.
Right. I love that. Those other terms that we are all really familiar with in just in general in society, but also in corporate America as well. So that whole idea of best in class, the excellence, I like the idea of that as well. You know, game changers, folks who have just really made that kind of difference. And as we know, with our programs, we're always striving to make that difference. You know, we are helping our companies add to the bottom line and how we continue to support each other in the way that we come up with new ideas and we overcome challenges and what we do to make sure that we continue to strive for that, just to be the best that we can be all the way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Sure. All right. Well, then let's also look at how did these characteristics first come to be, because it was a brilliant idea to be able to create this Bible, if you will, of what we're all striving for.
Yeah. And there's another word for world-class, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, right? Roxanne talked about it a little bit in last month's podcast when she talked about the original founder of the ABPM, mm-hmm. Franklin Thibaud, who was from Xerox.
Yeah.
And in the mid-90s, he sketched out the first document that had the original characteristics of world-class. And at that time, there were 19 characteristics. And they were in four categories, just like they still are today in four categories, though those four categories were a little different, mm-hmm. which shows you the characteristics continue to change every few years. But the first categories were management, scheduling and planning, marketing and promotion, and performance measurement. So just a little bit of background on the document. Like I said, it's about 25 pages. It's in these four major categories. And each of those categories has four or five characteristics. So we have categories and characteristics. And the characteristic is usually a sentence that paints the picture of what excellence looks like in that particular place. It's like an aspirational statement. It's what you strive for in your program. It is the benchmark. And then under that is a really, really important paragraph about why it's important. Why is that characteristic important? And then below that are the criteria or the how. So it's kind of each one is organized by what is it, why is it important, and how do you get there? And so today there's actually 18 characteristics spread across those four categories that we talked about. And I know it can get confusing, categories, characteristics, criteria, but it's all part of this roadmap to help programs elevate and enhance the customer experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I've found it's incredibly important for us to have this as ongoing ways of referencing what's happening in our overall industry. And I guess, you know, the idea that they do stay relevant. I mean, I've seen them be updated a good handful of times mm-hmm. in my almost 20 years of being part of ABPM. And just seeing, oh, yeah, we definitely need that in. Oh, these are new kind of things. So, you know, what are some of those kind of changes that you can point to that have happened over the years? And how do you see how that's helped the document and our programs, for that matter, to continue to be so relevant?
Well, as you mentioned, it's not a static document. The document does change, and it's been through three or four or five iterations. We probably take a look at it about every 4 or 5 years or so just to make sure it's always relevant, because the bar keeps raising for world class. Mm-hmm. What might have been world class 10 years ago is, you know, table stakes now. It's probably not even in the document anymore. It's rolled out because everybody does it that way.
Absolutely.
So there is this cadence of refresh, and the individuals who participate in the refresh include programs who have won world class. So past award winners, some of the consultants who support the profession, previous jurors who've been jurors for world class, and of course the ABPM advisory board, and really going through category by category and characteristic by characteristic and saying, is this still relevant? Has this changed? What is world class at this moment based on the last set of, for example, right. world class award submissions? Mm-hmm. And so some of the changes in the past, I mentioned marketing used to be a category. It isn't even a category anymore. Back in 2014, we realized you can't be a world-class program without world-class marketing. So that's just like given a table stakes. We completely took it out and put in a whole different category, customer experience. You know, yeah. And I remember that moment because it was John Hyman from Sprint. It's like, oh my gosh, of course, customer experience needs to be a category. So that was a change. And then multi-site was just added in this last iteration around 2019. And who knows what it's going to be in the future? I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but maybe maybe predictive analytics come in, or maybe virtual briefing platforms come in, because it's always changing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I love how it has changed with the times. You know, like you said, planning has become operations now. We had metrics or measurement. Now it's called analytics, because there's so many more tools and ways that programs are really showcasing how they are impacting business, you know, being able to show that ROI and all of those, you know, the sentences, and then the how, the tactical pieces of the document are really helping us to stay up to date with what are the latest and greatest ways that teams are doing that. So yeah, just love that. And the fact that, you know, like you said, certain things were table stakes, and, you know, we've talked about how even 15 years ago or so, just even some of the conversations we would have in the sessions at ABPM and whatnot, and in the document, they were more logistical in nature, and everything across the whole industry has just been elevated and moved up to be more strategic. And this has helped us to do that, I think.
That's right. And the way that the characteristics are written has evolved as well over time. It used to be more, I guess I would call it, directive or prescriptional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's more aspirational. Like, this is the outcome that we're looking for. How you get there is completely up to you and your program, but this is the result that you're striving for. So it is more aspirational.
Exactly. And that helps us, you know, fit in with, you know, vision statements that we may even have for our programs and whatnot. So yeah, that verbiage really helps a lot. And so let's talk more about, how do you see programs really using this world-class characteristics document today?
Well, I like referring it to it as a roadmap to excellence, because it really can be the guiding document that you can use to grow and evolve and increase quality and consistency in your program. Before the pandemic, when I was physically visiting in briefing centers, I can't tell you how many times, Darby, you know how the briefing staff offices are often right off of the briefing center, and there's a door that you go through,
right,
and you'd walk into the office off the briefing center, and you look at that, the back of the door, that door that goes into the briefing center, and they have a big poster of the characteristics.
Oh, yeah. There
was one year, many years ago, that ABPM made a poster available, you know, a door-sized poster, and a lot of programs have continued that as the briefing characteristics have evolved over the years. So before you walk through that door to go in the briefing center, there they are right in front of you,
right in front
the
of
18
you.
Or 19 characteristics. And it keeps them top of mind for people, really helping people focus on what excellence looks like and what world-class looks like. So that's, you know, in a day-to-day way, that's one way that a lot of programs use the characteristics. But it's also used by management to try to go for funding if they're looking to make a business case to enhance their program in some way, either physical or staff, you know, operational. They have a document they can point to and say, this is what best in class in the industry looks like. We aren't doing that.
Right.
And they can use it to prioritize where they want to put their funds. And then also when they go to the mat, when they go to management and say, look, this is a characteristic of world class in our profession. So it adds a lot of gravitas when you're trying to go for funding or a business case.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And of course, they've been used now since about 2002 also for the World Class Awards, which is a tremendous honor for a program to go through all of the work to document how their program is achieving these characteristics in a particular category or categories, and write up a submission and provide the documentation and all the hyperlinks for jurors to really look at whether their program meets the bar of world class. And it's a wonderful thing to win world class, and you get a trophy that says, you know, something on it, whatever category, you know, analytics or operations, and put it in the trophy case. So winning the award, you heard Roxanne talk about this, is a real honor for programs. And I think that the journey is the reward too, that getting the team together to do a self-assessment, to do a benchmark, to look at what their strengths are and opportunities for improvement, and to focus on those areas, is really an opportunity for team building, to rally and focus the team around continuous improvement.
I think that's so true. Being able to review where they're at and walk through, and it is not a small feat to do that, to, you know, try to win an award, if you will. And I know we're going to talk a little more about that, but I love what you said too about the back of the door, right? We had in our command center in the center, right? We had our little area off to the side. And of course, we always had them printed up right there so that we were constantly keeping them top of mind. And every day you go out and you do the best possible job you can for creating that experience and all the pieces that you've pulled together, all the systems, all the technologies, all the tools, all the process, everything that we do to bring together those just amazing experiences. So I love that you mentioned that. And the fact that, yes, management has this bar as well that they can go and use when they're trying to pitch for staff or for facilities or for any kind of resources to say, you know, here's how we need to compete and here's why and here's what everyone else is doing, kind of, you know, knowing that other competitors and whatnot might be and hopefully are doing the same. That really is a great way to make their case. So I love that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's go back to the awards. Actually, I would love to dig into that a little bit more as you mentioned that. And, you know, how are the characteristics used for the awards and what's the process of being able to, you know, submit for and how does that whole thing work?
Well, it's a real badge of honor to win an ABPM award as world class in one of the four categories, management, operations, customer experience, or analytics. There is no award per se in the multi-center programs category, but in those other four categories, and a program that thinks that they have strengths in one or more of those areas can work through a submission process. Essentially, it's a one-page electronic narrative on each characteristic. Mm-hmm. And there's four or five characteristics in each category. And then a lot of hyperlinks to showing their documentation, you know, to prove their work in a way. And they're really substantiating that they're world-class in that category. It is not competitive between programs.
No.
The program is simply trying to achieve the bar, achieve the recognition that they have met world-class. So programs don't compete with each other, but they do need to be able to show how they've accomplished that particular characteristic. And then usually, I think submissions are due around the 1st of December each year. Though the last 2 years, ABPM has suspended the traditional world-class awards because of last year, because of COVID. And this year, there are awards, but they're in some different categories. But then jurors are selected from the industry who have experience to judge these nominations, usually about three jurors in each of the category. And I've been a juror, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
I think every year but one since 2002, since ABPM started giving world class awards.
I knew you'd been a lot. I didn't realize you'd done that much.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's a big commitment as a juror, you know, because it takes me it takes me about 1 hour per characteristic per program to judge, and you know, when we used to have many many programs and many many characteristics, it's a big commitment, but. For myself, I would say, and for anyone who's been a juror, they would agree with me that the benefits of being a juror are tremendous. You get an insight, a lens, a perspective into what some of the best programs in the world are doing today and how the profession is growing and how the bar is being raised. So for me, it has kept me really fresh and really kept my finger on the pulse you know, what world-class looks like.
Yeah. Well, and should I date myself? I think I'll date myself too, because I was a juror one time when I was on maternity leave, actually. So it was way back in 2012, right? Beginning of 2012. And back then it wasn't all of the electronic stuff. Like, you know, here's your link and link over to this and link over to that. We actually had, you remember, obviously all of the paperwork and all the binder and everything that we had to go through, right? And be able to, but you're right. It was just a wonderful experience. And seeing the insights of the programs that I got to review, I was like, oh my gosh, look at all of what they're doing. You know, the amount of detail that was in there was incredible.
And haven't times changed, Darby? So yes. I remember too, we used to, FedEx would come to the door with boxes of binders. And then after that, for a few years, it moved to a USB key. And now it's Dropbox.
Yeah, so that, exactly. You know,
times have changed.
Yeah, big time. But it was such an honor. And it was so, I mean, you must just be tickled every single time you go to the award ceremony, because you have been able to kind of be a part of the process, obviously, but you have insights into what they've done and how hard they've worked and all of those pieces. So, you know, I know most times you're up there and you're giving the awards, but it just must be such a even more special thing for you, having been so involved all this time.
It is. And even for programs who end up not winning an award or not winning an award in every category that they submitted, they still get valuable feedback from the jurors as to where we thought their strengths were, where their opportunities were. And I didn't even mention this, but by the way, the world-class characteristics are the framework for the core competency curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
So the ABPM core competency curriculum is actually, there is a class in pretty much every single one of the 18 characteristics. So if a program falls short in a particular characteristic, they understand why. And then the ABPM is at the ready to provide training in that characteristic as well.
That's right. That's a great point. Yes. And the fact that in doing that with the fall workshops, you know, they are always trying to get as many of the workshops in there that do fit into the curriculum. But thank you, I will say, for making that possible throughout the year, because doing the virtual workshops all throughout the year gives folks the opportunity to have more times when they can attend and, you know, get that valuable input and information so that they can continue to strive towards completing the curriculum, but also continue to build the skills. So I love that that's been more prevalent over the last few years as well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were just mentioning about they did not do the traditional world-class awards in 2021. And why do you think that is?
Well, last year they didn't do them because everybody had their eye on a different ball.
Yes, exactly.
And that was, you know, coming up with virtual briefings. Now this year, awards are in progress right now. So ABPM just had a call for entries by the 1st of December, and I'm actively judging now. But there are categories right now for innovation and virtual briefings, innovation and hybrid briefings, a virtual platform. And I think there is a world-class center again this year. But fingers crossed, we do anticipate going back to the traditional categories, if everything is normal a year from now.
Yes. Well, that's great to know. And apologies, because I'm not submitting for an award, obviously. So it's good to know that there are these new categories, given everything that's taken place over the last couple of years. So you said innovation in virtual briefings and innovation in hybrid briefings, which is great. I'm very curious, and I'm sure you are too, as you've jumped into doing your juror duty, if you will, reviewing them.
Or pleasure, yes,
right. But that's great. I'm so glad that that's you know, already taking place, and we're going to get to experience that at the spring conference, and then hopefully go back to the traditional after that. So that would be great. And speaking of virtual and hybrid, you know, how do you see the characteristics themselves kind of translating for virtual and hybrid? Are they still as relevant in your mind?
I'm glad you asked that, because they absolutely are still relevant. And I've given it a lot of thought, because I've done several workshops, you know, about that in the last 2 years. But if you look at the way the world-class characteristics are written, as I said, they're aspirational. They talk about outcomes and results. And virtual or hybrid are just different delivery mechanisms. Well, I shouldn't say just, because I know they're problematic, but they are different delivery mechanisms. But at the end of the day, you still need a certain caliber of a program with efficient processes, and you have to be internally viewed as strategic, and you need to have metrics, and you need to deliver world-class customer experiences. So it's still relevant. I mean, and maybe even more relevant. You know, look at voice of the customer, facilitation, you could even make a case, or customization, that those are even more relevant in the virtual world. So
absolutely.
I've really looked deeply at each of the characteristics, and I do think they're absolutely relevant. at this moment. Now, in the next iteration, maybe a few things change and get added on, but they are still relevant right. for today.
Yeah, exactly. So it's great because, like you said, we are still going to strive for that same level of excellence, regardless of the method of how we're delivering them. You know, folks, right. we've said this in a lot of podcasts this year, I think, you know, the folks that are requesting the briefings think that maybe because it's not a full day briefing that you're there in person and doing what you're doing. And now you've got a briefing that's 2 or 3 hours and it's virtual, that it's less preparation. And honestly, I think it's more, you know, because we have all the technology pieces to be concerned about and make sure operational. But like you were saying, just making sure, you know, they have to be just superbly facilitated, utilizing different skills to do that as well. But just making sure that we are continuing down that path of having the very best experiences we can. And in the virtual and hybrid worlds, we're still implementing all of those processes and those that we've added on because we've had to, you know, face these challenges for the year. So, yes. So, well, thank you so much, Candy. I think this is a great way for folks to have maybe a deeper appreciation for the characteristics themselves, how they've evolved, how they are relevant, how they're being utilized by teams, how they will continue to give us that benchmark, that bar to strive towards. And, you know, I always love to end the podcast with these lessons learned and, you know, the key takeaways that you want to encourage our listeners to really focus on in their quest for, you know, striving for that world class. What can you share with our folks as we kind of wrap up?
Well, a couple of things. And the first is just how privileged I think we are to have a guiding document in our profession.
Yes.
I mean, how many professions, I can't think of any, have something like this, have an industry benchmark document. I came out of telecom. We had something called the Malcolm Baldrige Award. It was a very onerous process, a little bit similar. But honestly, what a privilege we have. And thanks to the many people over the years who provided input to make the characteristics document what it is.
Yeah.
And it is not the norm, okay? It's not what the average program does. It's what the average program aspires to. It is world class. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, I don't want any program to feel bad or any manager to feel bad if they're not world class. World class is probably a single digit percentage, right? It's world class. It's not the average. The bar keeps pushing up and the norm keeps rising. So it's not like if you fall short, you should feel any shame in that. But it is a good, you know, a good benchmark process.
Yeah, that's a good
and,
point.
And finally, if anyone is interested in submitting for world class, you know, it takes years to achieve and months to write up.
Right.
Right. It's not the sort of thing that you can decide in November. Ooh, I think we should let's put in for world class and customer experience. You know, it takes, it's not a new program is not going to be ready for that probably for several years or many years. And even at that point, it's going to take the team some time to write up the nomination. So it's a big investment, but a lot of great returns for the work.
Right, exactly. And I love what you said earlier about just the team coming together to do that and having it be kind of a, you know, a team building exercise in that sense. And it's a chance for them to review all that they are doing and see, you know, maybe they've, in their minds, they're reaching world class now and they've put together all of these great ways of achieving that. But inevitably within that review, there's always going to be, oh, but we could still do X, Y, Z. So there's always something to strive for, you know?
Exactly. It can be very validating and it can also uncover opportunities.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, gosh, thank you so much, Candy. I really appreciate this today. And this really does set the foundation for our world-class theme that we're going to do this year for our podcast series. And I would love to let everyone know that our plan is that we are going to talk more in detail on each of those different world-class categories that Candy talked about, including management, operations, analytics, and multi-site even. So I'm going to focus on bringing in folks who have, you know, really reach that bar or you know, achieve that excellence in those different categories and be able to have them share about each of them. But in the meantime, I wanted to encourage everyone to listen to the podcast that Candy and I did previously. If you listen to episode 19, that is focused on the world-class characteristic of customer experience. And that was from February 15th of 2021. So if you go back into your ABPM app or you go back to the webpage, then you'll be able to find that episode. So that's customer experience. And then we'll work on the other four and do that as we go through 2022. So just thank you again, Candy, so much. I really appreciate your time and that you are the guru of world-class in my mind, and I'm sure in many folks' minds. And thank you for always teaching the course, the full day course for folks to really understand better all the value that it does bring and all the ways that it can be utilized. So great way
to kick off. You. Yeah. Thank you, Darby. I hope we've piqued some of your listeners' interest to stay tuned for World Class this year. Yeah. And I just want to wish everybody a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.
Thank you. And to you too. Fantastic. And we will thank everyone for listening today as well. And you can listen to this and other episodes in our series by visiting www.thecxapp.com/podcast or through the MyABPM community app. And please subscribe to stay informed about future podcast episodes. And if you have any thoughts or questions about today's podcast or have ideas for future briefing industry podcast topics that you'd like to see us cover, the best way to reach me is by email, and that's at darby@thecxapp.com. Thank you so much for listening, and Happy New Year.
This has been a production of the CX App Live, your partner in digital customer experience programs. For more insights, tips, and trends, visit us at thecxapp.com, where the experience is everything.